301-230-0980, the number, right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Kevin. Wow. Just heard from Cliff Kingsbury for the first time this offseason, the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. We are 99 days away from the kickoff of the regular season in the National Football League. Commanders out on the practice field today for voluntary OTAs. It'll be the first time the media gets to see the full 90-man roster up close in person. We'll have some developments throughout the show in terms of who's there and who's not, because it is, of course, voluntary. Right now, though, I want to go back out to the guest hotline for the second time this show, where you find our pal Danny Ruye, the co-host of Grant and Danny weekdays 2 to 6:30 on 106.7 The Fan. Danny, appreciate you making some time for us this AM, my man. How are you?
You got it, dude. Doing well.
So wanted to ask you, obviously, as we get geared up for, you know, voluntary OTAs here, the number one thing that's on your mind that you're looking forward to?
This is always so hard because we get to see so precious little, right? I mean, and what they're doing a lot of times is glorified walkthroughs, it's T-shirts, it's shorts, you know, but it's just a reminder of how good the vibes are, right? And that's not to say that no other coach in the past has had that good vibe. I mean, people were enthusiastically coming to Ron Rivera's OTAs on their way to a 7-win season. So it's not necessarily 1-to-1. No tackles are made. No stats count here from the end of May. But still, it's like just it's almost a chance for me to revisit how magical and how much fun last year was when some of the same names are now talking and walking through that door and, you know, have that same zeal and enthusiasm for kind of getting back to work in the business of trying to win a bunch more football games, building on what they did last year. Ultimately, it's how some of the young pieces fit in, though, as well for me and Lynnell. I'm thinking about, you know, some of the guys that are carrying over from last year, this year's crop of draft picks as well. Where do they fit in? What's Luke McCaffrey going to be this year? Was it, you know, fun project or, you know, guy that's the fifth receiver? Is it, you know, Jalen Lane's time to shine as another gadget player? What's Ben Sinnott going to do? A second-round pick that was an afterthought for most of the season. Things like that, I'm always kind of curious and hungry for when it comes to OTAs. Because, you know, I know exactly what Zach Ertz is. I know exactly what a lot of these offensive linemen are. I know a lot of what, you know, Bobby Wagner is going to do each and every day. There's no mystery there for me, but it's kind of getting those reports that I'm voracious about on some of the guys that we don't have as much data points on yet.
The offensive line, Danny, I would say is probably the most improved position group on this football team, and I think it was really smart on this coaching staff and front office to really target that during the offseason and try and do whatever you can to bolster the line around Jaden Daniels. With an improved offensive line, who do you think, outside of Jaden Daniels, who do you think may be the biggest beneficiary of that?
It's got to be the cadre of running backs, right? I mean, those guys have people like me basically saying, I'm not really interested in that group. I know that, you know, your arms are a little bit sore from the you know, raising them up high and cheerleading for Brian Robinson. For the rest of us, I'm tired of watching a plodding pedestrian, you know, guy with a lack of vision slam into the offensive line and, you know, gain a yard or 5 feet or whatever comes from it. So to me, the running back group that I don't think a whole lot of, I like Austin Ekeler, but we know how much, you know, he gets injured.
Right.
You can't overuse the guy. So for me, I don't think much of what they've assembled there. I still keep advocating to kind of go out and market and find somebody and more of a scat back, somebody that's, you know, kind of what we used to think of in my day, Lynnell, as a third down back.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's now an all down back. That's what you're supposed to have in my view. They don't think that way. They think differently about their running backs. They want more Chris Rodriguez, more Brian Robinson, more thump. We'll see what Jakowski Merritt brings to the table as a rookie from, you know, late in the draft. But to me, the running backs, who have a lot of people down on them, myself included, if you actually get, you know, maybe some plus run blocking or some better looks against lighter boxes, maybe all of a sudden their productivity goes up and shut people like me right up, right? I mean, that to me is the first thought. I mean, obviously it's about Jaden Daniels, first, sure, second, third, all the way down to like a thousandth. But yeah, to me it might be the running backs where you go, hey, we're getting screwed over a couple times this year as guys are getting knocked back or not moving the pile. Maybe there's something to that.
Joined right now by Danny Ruye, co-host of Grant Danny over on 106.7 The Fan. You can check them out Monday through Friday, 2 to 6:30. Follow Danny on the X app at Funny Danny. The defense, Danny, is obviously the biggest issue with this football team. We all pointed at going into the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you that I felt like they were worse on that side of the football, what would you say?
Might be right. On paper, I don't know how much they've improved.
Yeah.
Now, they clearly have a plan. These are thoughtful people, Adam Peters, Lance Zumark and company. They know more than us, and I'm very aware of that. But it's just one of those things where I go back to previous regimes that weren't competent, that weren't very good, mm-hmm. and I would go, you know that LeBron James meme when he's, you know, has the two hands and he's pointing at the guy that was open, right? I can't remember if it was J.R. Smith or somebody else. But I'm doing that at a couple different positions, defensive end. I don't really know what we're doing. Look over there. Mm-hmm. A couple of spots in the secondary. I would have gone out and upgraded in a major way, most specifically at cornerback. They went, you know, second round draft pick. Amos, a kid I like an awful lot after, you know, going through a couple different schools, but I thought that was a wonderful pick. That was a guy that was a late first rounder in a lot of mocks, early second to get him where they did. I was thrilled with that. Very, very happy about it. But instead of going after, you know, one of the more marquee names at corner, which I think they have the cap space for, they said, no, we'll go Jonathan Jones. And that's kind of a, you know, he's kind of a Mikey Sandler still sort of player. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Some versatility and some, you know, some savvy and some chops, but not that world-class, I'm going to lock you down type quarterback. And I think they're counting on an awful lot for Marshon Lattimore that I frankly didn't see. So I'm sort of looking at this defense going, they don't have as good a pass rush. I still don't know if these answers are there at cornerback. You're razor thin at linebacker, and you may not even care about that just because, you know, you maybe have something in mind for Frankie Louvu, where he's now kind of a poor man's Micah Parsons on passing downs. He's going to be almost exclusively rushing the passer. Whatever it is, I don't know the answer, and I think they do, and that can frustrate fans a little bit when you see something, you go, this looks like a glaring issue. Maybe they've got a great plan for it. Maybe it's awesome. I just don't see it just yet.
So the one area, two acquisitions that they made, Danny, that I look at and go, that's a clear downgrade, and I'm kind of skeptical about it going into this thing. You swapped out John Allen for Javon Kinlaw and Jeremy Chinn for Will Harris. I think most people that watch football would tell you that they downgraded at those two positions. So very curious to see, you know, what those two gentlemen are able to do and how they're able to step up. I want to go back to the offense for 1 second here, Danny. Cliff had a very interesting barb during his pre-practice presser saying, you know, like, I expect to get cussed out a couple of times this year for different guys wanting the football. It now feels like they have a surplus of options on offense. You draft Jalen Lane. You've traded for Deebo Samuel. You've already got, you know, Terry McLaurin in-house. Zach Ertz coming off a big-time year. Do you think that a statistical regression could be in line for Terry McLaurin because of the other guys that they have on offense? And do you think if Jalen Lane knocks their socks off during OTAs and training camp, do you think it makes them maybe press pause on a McLaurin extension before the start of the season?
So I think those are mutually exclusive. If Lane is of high quality and is going to be impactful, I don't think that necessarily affects the McLaurin signing or an extension there. That's my own view. Somebody could tell me different, as if to say, hey, we've already got his appearance ready on, or his apprentice and or his a future replacement, you know, kind of ready on deck, and we'll train him up and then maybe franchise Terry for a year and then move on. I don't think it's going to go that way. I think that everybody's going to come together and get an extension done. But the first question, second here, in terms of a regression, I absolutely think that's happening. And it's no reflection on Terry McLaurin.
Right.
He had more touchdowns last year than any other two seasons of his career combined. Those can be fluky. I mean, again, I'm old enough to remember when Calvin Johnson, one of the great receivers in human history, I think had like a 1,600-yard and 2-touchdown season, which ruined a fantasy season for yours truly. So, you know, those kind of things are fluky and can be fluctuated. It doesn't mean that Terry McLaurin didn't improve in the red zone. I mean, it's not awesome, but a 13-touchdown season probably, you know, goes back down to something like 7 or 8, which is still outstanding, still Pro Bowl, you know, still, you know, kind of potential knocking on that door of an all-pro team. So I just think those kind of things are circumstantial and they can fluctuate a little bit, right? You think of, as you said, the mouths to feed, the different ways to do it. How many times is, you know, he tackled at the 2 and that touchdown goes to Rodriguez or Brian Robinson or Jaden Daniels on a scramble? Or, you know, how many times does, you know, that one, you know, blade of grass that actually happens to be on the out of bounds line turn into something that's no good and now we got to kick a field goal? I mean, you know, those things again kind of come and go in terms of it. He'd been criminally unlucky over the course of his career, talking about McLaurin in terms of scoring touchdowns. And, you know, last year was kind of an overcorrection for that. So I do expect a bit of a regression there. Plus, you're playing better teams, more good defenses on the schedule, another year for everybody to kind of get data sets under their belt and figure out how to stop Kingsbury, this offense and company. So, yeah, I think normal regression is expected, but it's not one of those, oh, my God, what happened to Terry? Yeah. He'll be just fine. He's got a track record.
We will let you go on this, my friend, kind of a bigger picture question. Where do you rank Washington on the threats to the Philadelphia Eagles in this conference?
Okay, so you got to run through some of the teams, right? I mean, again, this is the on-paper stuff, and this is what's fun in May. Who knows? I saw that segment that Kyle Brandt did. He's got Tampa as kind of the ultimate threat. Respectfully, I don't buy that, but it's good off-season content. So, all right, who are the threats? Detroit, obviously, on paper, that's a Super Bowl favorite. They should be. They're right there. I wonder how formidable they would have been if Aiden Hutchinson hadn't gotten injured. As they kind of continue to retool this offseason, Detroit has to be one of those examples. They can score with anybody. They're really, really good. Now you get into kind of that level of variance. I'm not really sure how good Green Bay is going to be or how good Minnesota is going to be from that division. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be good. I think they've got a good program going in Minnesota, but I'm not 100% certain about that when the rubber meets the road. Is this that 13-14 win team or the group that 2 years ago won 7 games? I have no idea. Out west, I think Seattle I've got pretty well pegged is perfectly fine. Not great, not bad, probably that 9-10 win range. San Francisco's the team that I don't quite feel or understand why odds makers seem to think they're going to be a damn juggernaut. And I'm looking at this old group with a core that's, a bunch of, frankly, a few Hall of Famers. I don't know that they're going to be healthy for 17 weeks. I don't know that all of a sudden they're going to be themselves again. But, Vegas has them as one of the favorites to be a Super Bowl contender. And, there are some folks like me that are going, probably, what's the bunch of guys get hurt? That's a 6-7, 8-win team maybe with Kyle Shanahan and company at the helm. So Washington is certainly in that mix. If you want to put them second, you want to put them third or fourth or fifth, all totally fine. And I'm sure I'm missing a couple teams. Nobody from the NFC South really is a consideration for me. But again, I have no idea what it's going to look like year two with Caleb Williams and company in Chicago and Ben Johnson. If he's as good as advertised, all of a sudden you look up and you go, damn, they got a pretty decent offensive line, a quarterback that's prodigiously talented, and a whole bunch of really good skill guys. That's pretty nasty. Maybe they're a threat. So this is kind of the fun part where you prognosticate and you have no idea with injuries and scheduling quirks and, the stuff doesn't click or best laid plans, et cetera. But the point to me is Washington is absolutely in the mix, even if they don't have like a 12-win caliber season, because they're playing good teams like Kansas City, Philadelphia a couple times. I think Dallas will be improved. They could be as good or better as they were last year and maybe not win as many games just for, crazy circumstances happen. But, yeah, Washington's in that club, I think.
Danny, we appreciate you making some time for us, as always. Make sure you check out Funny Danny and Toby Altizer today on Grant and Danny 2 to 6:30 on the Fan. Appreciate you, buddy.
See you, my friend.
That is Danny Ruye. I think what we ended on there with Danny is pretty interesting. He's being open, honest, and objective. You could always count on that from our guy, Danny Ruye. I think it is very fascinating to me. One of the most fascinating topics of this offseason. Where does Washington rank amongst the top threats to Philadelphia in the NFC? We'll have a couple of prominent national NFL figures dish on that next. This is the Team 980.
All right, the Nats last night, they fall in a late-night matchup to the Seattle Mariners by a score of 9-1. James Wood continues to show off his power with the lone home run for the Nationals. Pablo Torre has announced, or PFT, or Pro Football Talk has announced, or reported, that Pablo Torre is open to pursuing legal action against the University of North Carolina if the university fails to comply with FOIA requests to produce records relating to Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. The Pacers, they took a 3-1 lead over the Knicks last night, 130-121. Tyrese Halliburton with a historic night. He had the triple-double, 32, 12, and 15 with zero turnovers. He becomes the first player in NBA playoff history with 30, 15, and 10, and zero turnovers. The Oilers, they take a 3-1 lead over the Dallas Stars. They win 4-1. Corey Perry had the game-winning goal. And then two teams looking to close out tonight looking to close out the final blow tonight. Oklahoma City tries to close out Minnesota at 8:30 on ESPN, and the Florida Panthers attempt to finish off the Carolina Hurricanes at 8 on TNT. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.